ask you today, how many want to be blessed? How many want to be blessed today? Can you raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. For me and my family, I want to be blessed. Well, today I'm going to do something I have never, ever done before on a Sunday morning. And someone you say, okay, that's got to be kind of crazy because I've done a lot of crazy things. This isn't so crazy, but it's something that I've never done before. We're going to be doing a new series next week, and I'll be introducing that to you. But before we do that, as I was in prayer and just praying about the direction of our church and where we're headed, I believe today that God has a message he wants us to hear, and I want you to be blessed. We're going to be doing a new series on Wednesday nights for the next three Wednesday nights called The Blessed Life, and it's some of the most awesome teaching I've ever heard. And let me tell you this. First of all, let me prerequisite saying this. I cannot stand prosperity teaching the way that it's portrayed on TV many times. We see it. Anybody else sickened by that? I know that sometimes we see it twisted around. You know, we got some guy in a studio somewhere teaching about prosperity, doesn't have a church, doesn't have a ministry, and makes his living on preaching on prosperity, and he's flying around with a couple jets, you know, and is not putting any money in the ministry. You know what I'm talking about. It's all about, you know, this prosperity thing. So it kind of sickens me, and it really turns me off to that, to a point sometimes that we can be cautious, not even want to talk about money because of that abuse that's being done. But at the same time, you realize that money is talked about in Scripture more times than almost anything else. Faith and prayer is talked about 500 times in Scripture, but over 2,000 times we see where God addresses money in our things. Over 2,000 times in Scripture, God addresses money in our things. And we're going to hear a teaching today, and we're going to hear it more today. I'm going to show a video, and I'm going to tell you this, that because I would never thought I would show a video on Sunday morning for the preaching, but I had a pastor friend of mine who pastors 1,200 people, and he took time to do it on a Sunday morning and showed it, and he's the one that actually told me about this teaching and said, you got to get this. It is transforming the life of our people. He goes, I've never heard it talk this way. I've never heard it said this way. And so, of course, it piqued my interest when I knew that he took a Sunday morning to show it, because this man never gives his pulpit up on Sunday morning to anybody to speak, more or less showing a video instead of him speaking. So that got my attention right away. So I ordered the series, and it just blessed me already. And I know you're going to be blessed by it. And this is what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to show the first sermon this morning in the series. And then this Wednesday night, for the next three Wednesday nights, I'm going to be showing the rest of this series. It's a four-part series. First part today, the next three parts, the next three Wednesday nights. They're not long teachings, approximately about 30 minutes. So what we're going to do is we'll open up service on Wednesday nights. Pastor Joe will be leading us in a couple of songs, and we'll go right into the teaching. And from 7 to 8, we'll have you in here. You'll be able to worship. You'll be able to get your teaching. And at 8 o'clock, we'll have you out of here. If you don't come on Wednesday nights, I'm going to ask you to prioritize if you can all make it for the next three Wednesday nights to be here. If you want to live in the blessing that God has for you and your family, get here, okay? I'm inviting you as your pastor. I'm encouraging you. I'm pushing you as your friend. If I was your best friend, I'd probably kick you in the seat if you didn't come. That's how important it is. I want you to live in the freedom. And some of you today, but Pastor, I already give. And so I would say to you, this is a whole new revelation of what you're doing. It's going to give you insights. I've studied this. I've preached it. I've taught things I thought were new. And he pulled out things I didn't even see. And has shown some very practical things on our giving, that why we give and what God's designed us to do. And it's done in the way Pastor Robert Morris is pastor of Gateway Church in Dallas, Texas. And you say, well, what's that mean? You probably haven't heard of him. A lot of you haven't heard him. But he planted the church in Dallas, Texas in the year 2000. And right now, he's running 12 to 14,000 people in 8 years. So God is blessing that ministry, okay? And so how many know if God's blessing that ministry, we should listen. What's going on? There's something that's happening there. There's a spirit behind what's going on there that I really believe that we can tap into and see that God is wanting to do that same thing in our hearts and our lives. And he taught this seminar and recorded it. And I'm going to show you the first part of that today, and then I'll close today with a prayer time with you. But this is Pastor Robert Morris from Dallas, Texas. I want you to hear. Some of you may want to move where you can see the screen. If something's blocking your view of the screen, feel free to move to the front or to the side to get a better view.
The Blessed Life with Robert Morris. Pastor Morris is a gifted communicator with over 20 years' experience in ministry. He presents practical and often humorous insights into the scriptural principles of giving and receiving as he unveils the true meaning of the blessed life. Now, let's join Pastor Morris for Session 1, First Things First.
Thank you very much. Thanks for coming. Thanks for watching. I'm glad you're here. Thank you very much for watching. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for coming. This is going to change your life tonight. I want you to know that. This is the most exciting thing that the Lord has ever shown me as a Christian. And I've been waiting and waiting and waiting for years to be able to share this message with you and with everyone that's watching. So, you have Scripture in front of you. We're going to go into Scripture. We're going to talk about some things. The first thing we're going to talk about in this session is entitled First Things First. In other words, we've got to put God first in our life in every area. First in our finances, first in our time, first in our family, first in our home, first in every area of our life. So that's why we call it First Things First. Now, what we're going to share with you in this seminar will affect every area of your life. It will affect your marriage. You know, they say the number one reason for divorce is communication. But did you know the number one thing people fight over? Money, finances. And so we need to understand this. There are about 500 verses in the Bible on prayer. There are about 500 on faith. There are over 2,000 verses on money and possessions. And the reason it is so important, and we're going to see this scripture later, but it's because Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So wherever your treasure is, that's our money. It affects our heart. So it is extremely important for us to understand these truths, all right? So first things first. Let me show you some scripture, all right? Exodus 13, verse 1. Exodus 13, verses 1 and 2 say, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and beast, it is mine. I want you to notice the Lord says the firstborn is mine. Whatever opens the womb, the firstborn is mine. This is a principle through the whole Bible. Through the whole Bible, the firstborn is mine. Now look down in Exodus 13 at verses 12 and 13. Then you shall set apart to the Lord all that open the womb, that is every firstborn that comes from an animal which you have. The males shall be the Lord's, but every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. And if you will not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. And all the firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. Now, here's a principle that we have to understand in the Bible. Here's the principle. The firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. Now listen carefully to me, all right? Don't get distracted by anything around you. The firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. Every time, if you were a sheep herder, every time one of your sheep had a lamb, you had to kill the firstborn, the one that's born first. Now this took faith. This is for a sheep, but if it's a donkey, you have to kill a firstborn sheep for the donkey. See, the rule is the clean had to be sacrificed, the unclean had to be redeemed. Now follow me carefully. The clean animals, those that were born clean, had to be sacrificed, but those that were born unclean had to be redeemed. This is one of the greatest pictures in the Bible, and most people miss it. This is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, every one of us were born unclean. Every one of us were born sinners. All the way from Adam, when Adam was created by God and Eve created by God, they had no sin. But once they sinned, every person born since then has been born in sin. We were born in sin, so we were born unclean. Remember the principle. The clean has to be sacrificed. The unclean has to be redeemed. See, we were born unclean. Jesus was born clean. So Jesus had to be sacrificed for us who were born unclean. Are you following me on that? It's very important that you understand it. It is a picture of the gospel. Jesus is God's firstborn son. And Jesus was born completely, totally clean, without sin. So we're talking about finances, but I want you to understand it goes all through the Bible. So this is a principle we need to understand first. The firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. Jesus is God's firstborn son. Jesus was sacrificed so that we could be redeemed. The clean is sacrificed. The unclean is redeemed. He was sacrificed so we could be redeemed. Now, I want you to think about this, and maybe you've never ever thought about this before. Jesus is God's tithe. In other words, God gave Jesus first in faith before he knew if we would believe or not, before we did believe, while we were mocking him and spitting on him, while he was dying on the cross. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God gave Jesus first in faith. And that's why I say Jesus is God's tithe. Because God gave Jesus first. You understand what I'm saying? See, the principle of tithing is very close to my heart. And there are a lot of people that are trying to come against this principle. The problem is, and I've even read books against it, the problem is they don't understand that it's a principle that runs all through Scripture. And it's not just a 10% principle, and it's not just a money principle. It's a principle of God being first in your life. Who is first? Is God first? And God gave Jesus as His tithe to the whole world. God gave Jesus to us before we ever believed. And He gave Him in faith. And that's what tithing is about. It's about putting God first. Now, God says all through the Bible, the firstborn are mine. The firstborn are mine. I want you to think about this. How did God have the right to take the firstborn of Egypt in the 10th plague of Egypt? God said, if you don't let my people go, I'm going to kill all of your firstborn. And you remember He did it. Killed all the firstborn. But why did God have the right to do that? Well, it's very simple. The firstborn are His. See, the firstborn belong to God. He had that right. That's what we don't understand many times. God owns all the firstborn. This is a principle throughout the whole Bible. By the way, Israel was redeemed by the blood of a clean lamb. Israel had a sacrifice for them. And some of you may not know, but the way that they were redeemed, they took that blood and they put it on a doorpost. I was thinking if we had a doorpost, I could show you. But if you think about pretend I'm standing in a doorpost, all right? They would take that blood and they would put it on the top mantle of the doorpost. And then they would put it on the left and on the right. And when they put it from the top, it would drip down. Now, I want you to see like a doorpost. I'm standing in a doorway, all right? And they put it on the left and the right. And they put it in the middle on the top. And it drops down. Now, what's that form that blood forms? What's it for? A cross. They were saved by the blood of a lamb in the form of a cross. How are we saved? The blood of a lamb, by the blood of the lamb in the form of a cross. Why? Because the firstborn belongs to God. And if he's clean, he has to be sacrificed. And if he's unclean, he has to be redeemed. The book of Acts says that they gave themselves first to God. First to God. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about each of us giving ourselves first to God. Do you know why in the book of Acts that the New Testament church met on Sunday? Because it was the first day of the week. And they were giving their first to God. It was also the day that Jesus rose from the grave. Is that right? So they met to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but they also met on the first day of the week. See, we should give the first day of the week to God. We should give the first of our time to God. We should give the first part of our day to God. We should give the first of our finances to God. That's the principle. It's so much more than what so many people have said. It's so much more than 10%. It's putting God first in our life. You know, we're talking about meeting on Sunday to worship the Lord, giving the first part of our week to the Lord. Some people's week starts on Monday, you know. Monday, I'm going to go out, I'm going to make deals, I'm going to make money, I'm going to do everything I can. You know, that's when their week starts. Other people, you probably know people like this, their week starts on Friday. You know, I'm going to party, I'm going to go have a good time, it's the weekend. But for believers, our week starts on Sunday. And we give every week to the Lord by worshiping His house. So this is the principle of the firstborn. Now the second principle is the principle of the first fruits. And the first fruits must be offered. The firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed, but the first fruits must be offered. Let me show you some scripture. Exodus 23, verse 19. The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. The first of your first fruits. Now, I want you to think about this. God is being very specific here. He doesn't just say your first fruits need to come into the house of the Lord. He says, the first of your first fruits need to come into the house of the Lord. That's very specific. And let me tell you what God is saying. He'll never be second. God will never be second. He will only be first. Let me show you another scripture. Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. This is a great scripture, and I'm telling you again, there's an attack against tithing right now in the church. And who do you think would want believers not to give funds to the church? So missionaries could be sent, so church buildings could be built, so schools could be started. That's the enemy. And there's this attack, and the attack doesn't even understand this principle of putting God first. It says, here's a scripture, it doesn't say anything about tithing, it's talking about first fruits, which is our tithe, but it says, honor the Lord with your first fruits, and your barns will be filled, and your vats will overflow. This is a promise for anyone. If we give the first of our first fruits, whatever your job is, if you're a banker, if you're a teacher, if you're a cab driver, whatever your job is, the first of your increase goes to God, and when you do that, you'll be blessed. Why? Because you're putting God first. That's what this principle is. I want you to think about when they entered the promised land. The first city they took was Jericho. Do you remember that? They marched around it, all that. Okay. God said something very important there. He said, I get all the silver and all the gold from Jericho. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. All of it is consecrated to the Lord, and all of it comes into my house. Every bit of it. Now, why would God say that? Why do you think? It's very simple. It was the first city. God said, give me the first, and then this is what he said. You can have all the rest. You can have all the other cities. You can have all the other silver and all the other gold. And you remember, Achan took part of it. You remember that? And this is what God said. Achan is taken of the accursed thing. But before Achan took it, do you know what it was called? The devoted thing. It was devoted to the house of God before he took it. After he took it, it was cursed. That's the tithe. When it comes to us, it's devoted. It's set aside. It's consecrated to the Lord's house. And if we take it, it's cursed. That's the tithe. God didn't say, after you take 10 cities, give me one of them. See? He said, give me the first one, and then you can have all the rest. This is a principle that goes all through the Bible. Give me the first one. And by the way, it took faith to do that. They had to believe that they were going to take the second city and the third and the fourth, right? If you're sheep, you get this sheep and you finally get the sheep up to breeding age. I don't know a lot about sheep, you know, but you get the sheep up to where she's old enough to breed. Then you have a lamb, she has a lamb, and you take the lamb and kill it. You don't know if you're going to get any more or not. That takes faith. This is what tithing is. Tithing takes faith. Tithing says, I'll give to you first. Before anyone else, before I pay my bills, before I make sure I got enough, I'm giving to you, and I'm going to trust you. God's portion is always devoted or consecrated before it's given, and if it's ever taken, it's cursed because it's stealing from God. That's why God says in Malachi, you've robbed me because you took what was devoted to my house and used it for yourself. I'll show you another scripture, Genesis chapter 4, and this is way back at the beginning. And some people say, well, tithing started with the law. Then others say, no, tithing started 500 years before the law. This is 2,500 years before the law. 2,500 years before the law. I want to show you something. Genesis 4, verses 3 through 5. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. There have been all these theological debates over why did God accept Abel's offering, but he didn't accept Cain's offering. It's very, very simple. It's right there. For it says, Abel in verse 4 brought of the firstborn. And if you look at verse 3, it says, in the process of time. In the process of time. After Cain saw how much he had, if he was going to have enough to meet his needs, if everything was going to work out okay, if his crop was good, in the process of time, he brought an offering. And notice it leaves the word first fruits out. See, we're talking about the principle of the firstborn, and we're talking about the principle of first fruits. Abel brought his firstborn. Cain didn't bring his first fruits. Cain's offering was not accepted. Abel's offering was accepted. All right, let me show you the last thing. The tithe must be first. We're talking about the firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. The first fruits must be offered. And here's the third thing. The tithe must be first. It has to be first. It is the principle of putting God first. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30 says, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's." In other words, it belongs to the Lord. And then it makes this statement, "It is holy," or set apart, or consecrated to the Lord. Now, it says all the tithe of the land, all of it. God doesn't change. God makes a principle here and says, let me just explain something to you. All the tithe is mine. It belongs to me. The firstborn belongs to God. First fruits belong to God. And the tithe belongs to God. But here's the principle. It has to be first. Otherwise, it's really not tithing. In other words, we give it to God first. We establish that. Now, if I, let's say I put 10 $100 bills up here. You know, and I'm not doing it because, you know, I come up here and get them. But if I put 10 $100 bills up here, all right, let's just pretend there's 10 of them right here. And I'm going to ask you two questions about these $100 bills. First of all, how much is the tithe? How much? One of them, right? $100. If there's $1,000, $100 is a tithe, all right? Which one is the tithe? Well, which one's the first one, though? Is it the one on my left? Or is it the one on your left? Which one's the first one? Well, here it's very easy because you need to know this. It's the first one spent. In other words, it's the first one given. You can come up and take one out of the middle, but the first one that leaves, that's the first one. That's how you know which one's the first one. In other words, the first one that goes out, that's the first one. Now, why am I saying this? Because many people sit down and they get paid and then they pay all their bills and then they go to the grocery store and then they write their tithe check. And I believe it's possible to be giving 10% and not tithing. Because tithing is giving to God first. First. Now, listen to me. I'm not talking about being legalistic, though. I'm not saying, you know, if you get paid on Thursday and before you have time to sit down and write the bills and write the tithe check, your wife goes to the grocery store and buys groceries. You know, don't say, oh, you know, honey, now we're cursed. Why would you do that, you know? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about being legalistic. God is not legalistic. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your heart. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about is God first in your heart. Do you wait to the end to make sure you have enough? Or do you say, I'm going to give it first because it's yours and I trust that I will have enough? Would you rather go through life with 100% of all of your money and all of it cursed, or 90% of it and all of it blessed? See, this is a principle all through Scripture. Is it really faith to give 10% after we've paid the bills? Now, the first portion is the redemptive portion. The first portion has the blessing on it. In other words, the blessing was on Jericho for them to be able to take the rest of the cities. When they took of the devoted thing, when Achan took of the silver and the gold from Jericho, you remember what happened? The very next city was a little bitty city named Ai. No one hardly ever even heard of it. They sent just a few guys over there and they got whipped. Why? Because the blessing of God wasn't on them. The first portion has the blessing on it. So listen carefully to me. Don't give the first portion to the electric company. Because the electric company can't bless your finances. Don't give the first portion to the grocery store. Don't give the first portion to GMAC. Don't give the first portion to your mortgage. Because your mortgage company has no power to bless your finances. But God does. And the first portion belongs to God. This is the principle of putting God first. And the first portion redeems the rest. The first portion has the power to bless the rest. See, here's the problem. Now, this is going to be strong. I know it is. The problem is that we fear the IRS, GMAC, the mortgage company, and the electric company more than we fear God. And another way to say that is we respect them more than we respect God. See, when you're tithing, what you're saying is, God, I respect you first. I fear you first. It doesn't matter if I'm short this month. I'm going to get some things in order, and we need to understand. And then in the book, we got the book, The Blessed Life, out that I wrote. I talk about doing things the right way, doing the right thing. Part of that is debt. Part of that is money management. Part of it is budgeting. All those things are part of it as well. But here's the first thing. First things first is that we give to God first. And if you don't give to God first, there's a curse on your finances. And here's the problem. I believe many, many people in the body of Christ have been living under a curse because they don't understand that they're taking what belongs to God, and it's God's because it's first. See, tithing says, this is what tithing says. I've got a stack of bills here, but I trust God. That's what tithing says. The opposite of that is, I'll pay these and then see if there's enough left over. And when you put God last in your finances, you're in trouble. When you put God first, you're going to be blessed. And you're going to live the blessed life. Think about this. God asked Abraham, and Abraham is our spiritual father, according to the Bible. God asked Abraham for his firstborn son. And God didn't say to Abraham, have four or five and then give me one of them. Have 10 and give me one, because all I want is a tenth. God said, give me your firstborn. And this is what he said. Now, think about this. God asked for his first when he didn't have any more, and he had only had the promise of more. That's tithing. See? Abraham didn't have any more. He waited for 25 years for Isaac. And God said, now give me Isaac. Give me the first one. And trust me for the rest of it. That's tithing. God always wants the first. He will never be second. He will never be second in your life. It's where the rubber meets the road. In other words, if you say to me that God is first in your life, I could say, well, let me see your check register. And I'll tell you what's first in your life. I'll tell you the thing you take care of first every month before you take care of anything else. That's what's first in your life. Tithing is putting God first. The great thing about being a tither, and we're going to look at this promise in another session, but the Bible says that God will rebuke the devourer for my sake. Doesn't even say for the kingdom's sake. It says for my sake. That means when Satan comes to me and says, you're going to go broke, you're not going to have enough, you're going to lose the house, Your retirement's going down the drain. You're not going to have enough when you get older. When Satan says all these things, I can say, that's a lie because I'm a tither. And I have such faith because if I give to God first and put God first, see, when I put Him first, guess what? He puts me first. All of my needs, He puts at the top of His list because I put Him first. So He puts me first. And I don't have to go through fear because I put God first. I don't preach on tithing and giving and finances because, I'm a preacher and I need something to preach on. And I don't preach on tithing and giving and finances at our church because the church needs money. I preach on tithing and giving and finances because I care about you. Because I have counseled with people over the years, over and over and over and over again, who are not living the blessed life. Their finances are all mixed up, and it blows me away how the enemy is having a field day with them. And as a pastor, I want to equip these people in this area. Why don't they understand it is so simple? There are principles in God's word, and if they don't do them, their life's going to be like this for the rest of their life. They'll always be short. They'll always, every time they feel like they get ahead, something will break, and they'll always be behind. Why? Because they don't understand the principle of putting God first. I'll show you one more scripture. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2 says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. Now watch verse 2 carefully. On the first day of the week. What day? On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. Now, two things Paul said. First of all, he said, do it on the first day. The first day of the week. That's when I want you to do this, on the first day. And then he said, let every person give to the church as he prospers. Let me tell you what another version says. Another version says, in direct proportion to the amount you earn. In direct proportion to the amount you earn. In other words, Paul wasn't saying, I want every person to give $100 every week. Or I want every person to give $1,000 every week. He said, I want you to give in proportion of your income. In other words, a percent, a percentage. And God established the percentage long time ago, way before the law, and the percentage was 10%. The tithe, it's called tithe. The word tithe means a tenth. God is the one that established that. If you have a problem with that, you really need to get mad at Him, not me. Because I'm not the one that came up with this. God came up with this a long time ago. And do you realize if every believer tithed, we could send every missionary that needed to be sent. We could build every building that needed to be built. We could win people to Christ. We could preach the gospel. We could feed the hungry. We could clothe the naked. We could do the work of the kingdom. God set it up that way so that it would be taken care of. We wouldn't have to have car washes for the youth to go on a mission trip. We wouldn't have to have candy sales in the foyer of the church. If every person just did, God had His own fundraising program, and we departed from it. And it's called tithing, and it's very, very simple. Most churches, the average in most churches is 20% tithe. 20% tithe. And we wonder why we're broke, and we wonder why we have debt. We wonder why we're the most in debt nation in the world. Did you know, by the way, that third world nations give more percentage than America does? Do you know that? Blew me away. We're the richest country on the earth, and third world countries give more as in the percentage than we do because they understand this principle because we're talking about your heart. See, your check register, if I open up your check register, let me tell you what I'm looking at. I'm looking at your heart. I'm looking at how much of your heart's in your house, how much is in your cars, how much is in your clothes, and how much is in the church right there. And the amazing thing is, it's okay if your mortgage is 25% or 30%. God never said a word about that. All He said was, give me 10 and give it to me first because we put God first. I said that was the last scripture, but there's one more. Sorry. We started with Exodus 13, verses 1 and 2, and 12 and 13. And we ended in verse 13, but I want you to look now at Exodus 13, verses 14 and 15. This is very important. Exodus 13, verses 14 and 15. So it shall be when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is this? In other words, they're talking about, these children are coming up and they're killing these lambs. All right? And your children are going to come up and they're going to say, Dad, why are you doing this? What is this? What's this principle? Then you shall say to him, by strength of hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And it came to pass when Pharaoh was stubborn about letting us go that the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore, this is the reason, son, I sacrifice to the Lord all males that open the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem. The Bible says here, God says, let me tell you what's going to happen. Your children are going to come to you and they're going to say, why do we do this, Dad? And when they do, this is what I want you to say to them. Son, you don't know this, but Dad used to be a slave. Dad used to not own land. I had no sheep. I had no crops. I was a slave. And son, I want to tell you about what it was like in Egypt. And I want to tell you about what bondage is like. I want to tell you about what slavery is like. And son, I'm going to show you something so you'll understand what God did. And maybe the father would take his shirt off and say, this is what a whip does to a man's back when he's a slave. But the reason I do this is because God delivered us from slavery. God set us free. And I'm not a slave anymore. Therefore, I gladly give to the Lord from my first fruits. Therefore, I gladly give the firstborn of our animals to the Lord. We do it gladly. This is a sacred covenant between the Lord and between me as a free man now. I do this because I love God. I do this because God set me free. Now, when I saw this verse in the Bible, I just started crying because this has happened to me. With all of my children, at some point, and if you're a tither, it will probably happen with you as well if it hadn't already happened. Your children will say, come in while you're in the office, while you're writing that tithe check out. And they'll look at the number, and you know, to a child, that's a big number, you know. They say, oh, where's that check going, Dad? Let's go to church. Or they say, I've had my children say, can I give the check in the offering, you know, this week? You ever had your children ask that? Can I give the check? So you give them the check, and they, you know, they hold it a while, and then a little bit. But, you know, they have to see how much it is. And they all, whoa, Dad, why are you giving this much money? And I've been able, with all three of my children, to say, well, let me explain something to you. Daddy wasn't always a Christian. And let me tell you what it's like not being a Christian. And let me tell you how bad my life was and how miserable I was before I met the Lord. And I can even show them scars too. And say, this is what it's like. But God, in a motel room, delivered your dad. Therefore, I gladly give the first of all of my finances to the Lord. Because see, I didn't have a house like this. I didn't have vehicles like this. I didn't have clothes. I didn't have, you know, the beautiful wife and the children. I didn't have any of this. God, save me. Set me free by His grace. And I say to my children, this is not something I do grudgingly. This is something I love to do. As a matter of fact, that's more than 10%. Every week, it's more. Because God set me free. Because God changed my life. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about putting God first. And if you put God first in your finances, it will begin to spill over to every area of your life. Now, I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I want you to ask the Holy Spirit what He's saying to you through this message. You're not here by accident, and you're not watching this by accident. Ask the Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me through this message? Have I robbed you? Have I stolen from you? Have I put you first in my life? And then if the Holy Spirit speaks something to you, just repent. God didn't come to condemn you. He came to set you free. So just repent. Just tell Him, Lord, I want to put You first in my life, in this area and in every area of my life. Father, I pray that You would cause this truth to come alive in us tonight, in everyone in the studio and in everyone watching. I pray You would cause this truth to come alive. And I pray, Lord, that for the rest of our lives, we will put You first. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Powerful stuff. I hope today that you get in the glimpse of what these next three sessions are going to be about. And I just tell you, if you can make it on Wednesday nights, you need to be here. Rearrange your schedule. It's that important. I believe God is going to speak something and do some transformation in some people's lives. I know I'm being challenged as I'm watching it. And I know many of you here today, you're already tithing, you're already giving. And so this principle is not a new principle of tithing. It's the concept behind what we're doing. And it's the attitude of the first fruits and the firstborn, the first things to God. And just because I'm paying my tithe doesn't necessarily mean I'm doing it the right way according to Scripture. And I was just challenged as I'm seeing the new revelation here that of God asking for the first, not just the 10% of what I have, but the first of what I have. And the Scriptures He pulled out was just so eye-opening. And I tell you, there's a lot more in this as He digs into and shares things about living the blessed life that God has for us. And so how many today, can you just make a commitment today, say, Pastor, I'm going to try my best to be here on Wednesday night for the next 3 weeks. Can you raise your hand if that's you? So you're going to try to be here. I believe God will do something in your life. I've had testimony. Not only have I heard Robert Morris testify at his church what God's done, but I've seen testimony of other churches who have gone through this, and they say, hey, it's transformed the attitude and the spiritual climate of our people. They are just really, reaping the benefits of this teaching. And so I wanted to bring this to you as your pastor and let it be something that could be a benefit to you. I know that it's benefited me, and I want to feed you also with it. How many know that God doesn't always just speak to your pastor? God speaks to other pastors, amen? And that's a good thing that we open the doors and see what God's saying. If you're a guest today and you say, man, I really am bummed out because I wanted to hear you preach, I can understand your feeling today. And I say to you, I know. You've heard, I know. Okay, but really, honestly, I do say this to you. You can get online at mydestinychurch.com, and we have several months of sermons on there. You can go download some of those sermons in here if you would like to get more of a taste of how I preach and our preaching style. You can do that online at mydestinychurch.com, and you can hear that. We'll also have this message. Hopefully, we'll have the audio of this message on there today. So if you want to go back and listen to some more. If I challenge you here, we won't keep you a long time on Wednesday nights. We'll be here at 7 o'clock. We'll open up with Pastor Joe, open up with a couple songs, and then we'll go right into the teaching. And I'll try my best to have you out of here right around 8 o'clock, okay? And so we'll get you in and out. But I believe God will transform our lives as we allow Him. He's going to speak to us. And so the question I have for you today is obviously what we just prayed is are you putting God first? Are you putting God first? And some of you here today, you may be feeling really a lot of guilt. You say, Pastor, I don't do this principle of tithing. Or I kind of give to God once in a while, but I always wait until everything else is paid, and then I kind of give God what's left over. Maybe it's only 5% or 3% or 1%. And today I'm feeling a lot of guilt. And I'm here to say to you today that God didn't come to give us a guilty conscience. He didn't come to bring this condemnation on us, but He came to set us free. And so I don't want you to leave here feeling guilty. I want you to leave here empowered of knowing that you have the power to change. And so how do we do that? Simply by what He said today. We simply ask God to forgive us. If you have failed in some of these areas, say, you know, I've just failed in this area of my life. I just have some reason. Maybe I used to do it, but I stopped doing it, or I've never done it before, and I've been thinking about doing it, but I just keep dragging my feet in fear today. Wherever you are today, I just say to you, simply just ask God, forgive me for that spirit I've had. And I just pray that today that I'm set free from that, and I can learn to begin to serve you out of the first of everything I have. And doesn't that go really good with what we've been talking about over the last several months about putting God first? The first 2 minutes of everything I do. I mean, that's that same principle. That same principle of putting God first in everything we do in our life. The first 2 minutes, I put my thoughts to Him. I'm praying to Him. The first 2 minutes, I'm giving to Him of my time, of my talent, and my treasure. The first of all that belongs to the Lord. And I want Him to bless it. And I like the statement He said, I used it before, that God, I can do a lot more with 90% that's blessed than I can ever do with 100% that's cursed. And God, today, I believe it's going to set you, and I tell you, that set you free. Because if we watch the stock market, what's it do? It goes up and down. You know, we got a stimulus package that's going to be mailed out early, and that kind of gets us, hooray, we're getting some extra money coming in the mail. But that's not going to last a long time. And then what are you going to do after that? You know, the prices of gas go up, and it goes down. And when it goes up, we go, oh, God help me, you know, and I need to sell off my SUV and buy me an electric car. You know, all these things. So all these panic things we have, the stock market crashes, and our retirement's up 1 month, and it's down the next month. And I tell you, you will live your life in fear. You will live your life up and down, up and down. And this teaching is setting you free because it's saying, no matter what the stock market does, no matter what the gas prices do, no matter what my mortgage company says, God, I know that when I'm putting you first, that you're going to work it out for me. Does it mean I'll never lose my job? No, but it means when you lose your job, but God's got a better job waiting on you. That means that God will sustain you through that process. And it may be some hard times, but He will not let you go without food and shelter. And when you get through this process, you come back and say, God, that all worked out for the best anyway. That's what putting your trust in the Lord is, and knowing that He will sustain you. He will take you through it and put Him first in everything you do today. So let's bow our heads as we close today. I'm not going to have you raise your hands because I want it to really be a personal thing between you and God. I don't even need to know this answer, but I just question in your heart. Today, if you're feeling guilty and you say, Pastor, that's me, I'm just feeling guilty. I know I should be putting God first in this area, and I haven't been doing it the way I know I should. I just want to give you a chance just to ask God this morning to forgive you in a personal way. Father, I just pray. And do that in your own words. Let's pray. Father, I just pray in my life and all of us here today, Lord, that we would just ask you to forgive us, Lord, for being people who sometimes put fear above you. We put more trust in other things more than we put in you. And we don't mean to do that, God, but our actions speak louder than words. We do it many times with our actions by trusting the stock market, trusting what the gas prices are. And Father, we have not always put you first. I pray today that we forgive us, God, of the sin. Forgive us, Lord, of being of being short in this area. And I pray that, Father, we would not walk in condemnation, because you haven't come to condemn us, but God, you've come to set us free. And I pray today that as we get knowledge today of your word, as we get knowledge, Lord, over these next 3 weeks, that, Father, you're going to set us free to walk the blessed life that you have always designed us to live. And I pray today, God, as you forgive us, that, God, there's a new attitude, a new hunger, a new passion, Lord, to put you first in every area of our life, to give you the best of every area of my life. Even when I don't see it, God, I'm giving you the first of everything that I do, the first part of my life, first part of my time, the first part of my talent, the first part of my treasure. God, I am giving to you today. If you believe it today, say amen. 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 Stand with me today. I'm so glad that you were here, and I do challenge you. I hope that you come out Wednesday night. Be here if all possible. And God bless you very much. Turn to a neighbor next to you and shake their hand, hug their neck, and say, man, God is good. God is good. Say, God bless you today. Amen.